177. The quarterly mission focus is Papua New Guinea. Please keep that in your prayers. And I thank you all, especially Jehanna and Becky, for all the help they did with all the coat drive. 732 coats, and somebody tried to give us 4 coats today. We had to turn them away because we really do have the coats. But you know, what an outpouring of love by the community and all of you for all your help in this. And please pray for Brother Frank as he will have the service this morning. But before we he comes up, please let's sing our hymn 216.
I don't know if it was discussed or not, if we were planning on having the next cooking
room.
Okay.
That's why he wasn't there. Okay. And 216, verses 1, 2, and 3. 216, 1, 2, and 3.
Persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We all have that same calling of to glorify the Lord in everything that we say and do. That's really why we're here. We're here to glorify God and to show the glory of God to all the world. And Scripture says that we are created for His glory. In Isaiah 43:7 it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Even knowing that God is the one who that created man and created all of us, that there's a glorifying of God in knowing that God had the ability to do that, and also that God gave us life through that. And we can see that the life that He wants us to live is to glorify His name. And that He instructs us to do everything to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 it says, "Whether ye therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so it's giving an instruction that all of us should glorify God. But you kind of wonder, how can you give glory to the King of Glory? He is already glorious. We can't make God any more glorious than He already is. But God is really saying that we should make the glory of God known unto all mankind, so that they too would see that God is a glorious God. God is a loving God, and He cares for us. And in Psalm 24:8 it says, "Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." And we see that glory belongs to God. And now in John 17:5 it says, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own glory." This is Jesus speaking. "Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee from before the world was." And we can see that even as Christ came to be on this earth and to take on the form of a human as we are, he's here to glorify God. That was his purpose, to glorify God and to make his word known. And that's something that we should also do. And in Acts 7:55 it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And this is the Apostle Paul that it's talking about, when he was on the road and he saw the glory of God. And God reveals his glory. And in Exodus 24:17 it says, "And the sight of glory of the Lord was like the devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." And here, as the children of Israel were going from Egypt to the promised land, they were seeing these things, that there were many things that God was showing to them. And God was showing them in parting of the Red Sea, and in the pillar of fire and the cloud, and his bringing water forth in the desert, and things like that. He was showing the glory of God. And in Psalm 19:1 it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And we can see that in everything we can see the glory of God. And we can especially see that in when Jesus came as the Son of God, so that he could die on the cross for our sins. That's something really amazing, and that's something amazing to show the love that God had and the love that Jesus had for everyone, that he would come to take our sins upon himself, and that he would do that willingly, and he would do that and knowing that the suffering he would go through for my sin, it's an amazing thing that Christ would do that. And again, we can't add glory to God, but we can tell others about those amazing things that God has done and the glory of God. And the basic meaning of the words which we have translated as glory as to be heavy in weight, to be so weighty and so important that they shine through and show the majesty of God and what he has done and what he has done for us. And there are so many things that show forth the glory of God. And you can see in Psalm 145, I will extol thee, O God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in his greatness, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and they shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and I shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in his ways, and holy in his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And here we can see in this psalm that the psalmist recognizes that how glorious God is and the things that he does, how glorious they are in power and might and in majesty, and in all the characteristics of God, and especially his love toward each one of us. God has a love for each one of us, and that's a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing to see in God. And we can also see the glory of God in nature and the beauty of all the things he has created, and even if you look out at that tree, it looks like that tree is dead. There are no leaves on it, and it looks like a dead tree. But we know that in the springtime, they will have buds on the tree, and they will come back with leaves on that. And that's an amazing thing that God has shown unto us that's the way that God has created it, and that's the way that the trees have been doing that for for thousands of years, as long as the earth has been around, God has shown us the glory that he has to create a tree like that. And when we see that working the way that God has intended to work, it's a way to show glory to God that he has done something like that. And even in the sunrise or the sunset, as you see the sun come up and then go over the horizon, and then the light would come, it's like a magnificent thing to see. And a lot of people just take pictures of that to show how great a thing that is. And or the sunset as it's going down, as the colors change into the redness, that's a glorious thing that God is showing unto us his glory. And we see the moon and the stars and just seeing the number of stars. And we're in an area that there's a lot of light around, and so it doesn't get as dark as if you're on a mountain where there's no light, and you can see so many stars that God has created, and we can see that. But that's a glory to God, and we should express that God is showing his glory in those kind of ways. And even the flowers, we can see how colorful flowers can get and how they are and how they grow, and we can see that. And we can see that God has created all kinds of animals. He's created birds and bees, and God gave them the ability to fly. And I've even seen like a bird can almost, it doesn't need a runway to start its flight. It can just fly. How a bird learns that, I don't know. God has put that into the bird, that when moving these kind of muscles, it can spread out its wings and it can fly. And that's an amazing thing, and something that we can look at and see that's the kind of creator we have. The God who created those things, he has created us also. And we can see in a hummingbird that hummingbird has the ability to hover in the air, to just stay in one place and to hover in the air. And in order to do that, what it has to do, it has to twist its wings so that in one direction the wings would give it lift when it goes down, and in the other direction the wing would be in a different way. It's kind of like a figure eight. And I don't know who taught the hummingbee to do that, to be able to do that. It's God that has given them that ability, and that's kind of an amazing thing. And also it's known about how quickly the hummingbee can move those wings. It's 80 times in 1 second that it can. That's a huge amount of things, and I can't even imagine that. If I tried to move my hand, I could never move it 80 times in 1 second, but a hummingbird can do that, and God created the hummingbird to do that. And even if we look at our own human bodies, of the bodies that God has created for us, that the things in the body are all working together as a unit. And even thinking about that we should work together also as a unit of believers, as a unit of church, as those that have Christ as their Savior, we should all work together, even as the body has worked together. And then in their scriptures that talk about that, even that though there are diversities in the body that don't all have the same function, but they come together and they work together in unity so that the body, and even how we the body can be nourished by the foods that that we eat, and the way that he has made food that we can eat, and made that to so our bodies would be strengthened and would be strong and able to do things that he wants us to do. And it's just amazing how that body works and how we can do that. And there are even processes that go on in the body that we don't think about, but they are working. And even as we've had sicknesses, there are ways that the body that will heal itself for that. And that's just a fascinating thing that God would be able to have conception of those things and create those things, and those are things we don't even think about, but God has given unto us, and we should thank Him for that. And I also have kind of been fascinated by DNA. It's one of those things we don't really have a total understanding of it, of how it works. At least I don't. Maybe others do, but it's one of the things that's so fascinating, that it's really a string of different I don't remember what they call it, but it's a whole string of that along, and it's really a blueprint of how the body is and of how the body would replenish itself, that if some cells get weak and die, that there are other cells that would be created from that blueprint to keep the body going. And we can see that happens. We don't think about it, but it just happens. And even DNA is difficult to study because it's so small, and but yet it has this function, and it does that function, and the body is necessary to do that, to create new cells, to replenish the old cells that are dying, and to get new cells from that DNA. And DNA is something that it really determines a lot of things. It determines the colors of our eyes. It determines the height we would be, or the weight we would be, and all kinds of things are written in that DNA, because God has created that way. And each cell in the human body has that strand of DNA, and then it's copied for over and over again. And that's constantly a process that's going on within our body, because that's the way that God has created it. And I think that's a way to glorify God, to see the amazing things that God has created in just those things, and in having a blueprint of who we are, of how He has created us. And using that blueprint over and over again to create new cells, to create cells that would work in the way that they were intended to do. And even cells that are different in characteristics, because the cells in the bones need to be hard and need to be strong. The cell in the eye needs to have light to be able to pass through it. Yet that one strand of that DNA contains all that information that those processes would need to know to replicate that. And I think that's an amazing thing. And it's difficult to study DNA because it's so small, and we don't know all those things about it, but it's kind of a fascinating thing, because even in those who have somewhat of an understanding of it, know that it's not just one string of things. It's actually divided up into kind of like we divided up a paragraph into sentences. DNA has a certain way that does that too, that it has a certain starting point of that thing and an ending point, and then another one takes over like that. And that's just fascinating to me that DNA could have such a property. And really to get an idea of how small DNA actually is, let's say you could magnify things a million times. And if you would magnify a hair of your head a million times, it would be about the diameter of a tube in the Lincoln Tunnel that cars go through. And you would get a better understanding of it if you could see it magnified a million times. But also, if you took that same strand of DNA and magnified it a million times, it would be less than a tenth of an inch in diameter. And that's really amazing to me, that so much information could be obtained in the DNA. Yet that's the way that God has made it. That's a process that God has made. And it's a wonderful thing to me to understand that, and to understand how glorious God really is, how He has put that kind of intelligence into a strand of DNA, and that's a wonderful thing to me. It's just amazing to see what kind of an amazing God that we have, who can do those things, and those things are processes that take place by over and over by themselves, but we don't even think about that, but it's just such an amazing thing. But it's also, if you were to magnify that DNA a million times, although the diameter would be less than a tenth of an inch, the length of it would be quite long. In fact, if you were talking about the Lincoln Tunnel, it starts in New Jersey, the length of it magnified a million times would go all the way through the Lincoln Tunnel, through New York City, into the Long Island, all the way through Long Island, and into the Atlantic Ocean. And that's even difficult for me to imagine, that something that would be this small in diameter, yet it's that long in length. And I think that's just an amazing thing, to see how God has created something like that that's even difficult for us to imagine, or difficult for me to imagine. And it's difficult for me to understand that the fullness of that God would create such a thing. And yet there are those that say, well, it's just random chance. Things just kind of worked out this way, and those were good, those were stronger and more able to survive, and then eventually it got a little bit better, and then a lot better. But to have that kind of a magnitude working in a human body, how could random chance just have worked out to do that? It's totally unreasonable to think that way. But some people say that it came into existence that way. And then to think that those are just physical things that God has made, yet God has made a way of salvation, because we couldn't do everything according to God's will all the time and in our lives, and we would make mistakes, and we would sin, and we would and God understood that. He knew that. He knew that we would do that, and He knew that we would sin. But if we repent of our sins and we come unto God and ask us to forgive our sins, we have such a forgiving God that because He sent His Son to pay the price of that sin, to pay the punishment of that sin, to put it on His own Son, Jesus, and that Jesus would suffer and die because of my sin. And that's even a love that I can't imagine. Even if I can't imagine the DNA being that long, that love is much longer than that. Love is much greater than that. The love that He had for each one of us is so great that you can't even comprehend it with a finite mind. But God in His Word has said that Christ has died for our sins, and we should come unto Christ and thank Him for going through that. Thank Him for being the sacrifice, and knowing that it was something that was so severe. If we read those things about what He went through, and he was scourged and whipped, and He had to carry the cross, and He was hung on the cross, and when you're on the cross, he was already bloody and from those things that He was going through, and then on the cross there to go through that. And even when He was on the cross, He said to those that were crucifying Him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a real kind of love that's hard to comprehend fully. But that's the kind of love that God has for each one of us. And I think when we're talking about glorifying God, it's something we should express, that God has that kind of love for each one of us. And to somehow make it known that we are so thankful and we are so amazed by what God has done and what He has done to purchase our salvation. And I think if we can make that known to other people, that's really glorifying God. Glorifying what He has done, glorifying the path to salvation that He has made, and that we should want to follow it, and we should tell others that God loves you, God loves each one, and to come unto Him and to recognize that a God who is so wonderful and so powerful, that creates the magnificent things just for us to see on the earth, He has also created a way to have our sins forgiven. That even though it says that even our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When we come unto Christ and we confess our sins and we repent and we give our lives entirely over unto Jesus, that's something that would really show the glory of God, of how glorious God is and how wonderful a God we have. May the Lord bless His work.
Three twenty-nine.
Thank you, Brother Still, and Frank, for your Bible class and service this morning. I'm just going to read part of the hymn. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Brother Paul, I ask you to have a prayer and also pray for me.
Rise in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day you've given us, Lord. You are glorious. You are so glorious and majestic. Lord, we thank You for this message this morning. Lord, we heard how glorious You are and how mighty You are. We praise You and worship You, our Heavenly Father, for You are so glorious. Lord, we also thank You for Your message this morning where You're calling out to all to come to the feast and be part of and stuff at Your table, Lord. And we pray and ask that those who do not know You, Lord, but truly come and accept Your invitation to be part of His family, Your family. And Lord, we pray that that You would just reawaken us and we would children to open our eyes to really seek You and serve You with all our hearts, soul, and mind. Lord, for we know You are truly coming soon, and this is crazy, for You are glorious. Thank You for this church, Lord, for the message that's being shared. We pray and ask that You would bless this congregation and trust Your Spirit's leading and guiding. Help us, Lord, to all be lights, Lord, and that we would be those candlesticks, Lord, to show Your light, Lord. And again, Your light and Your glory and Your praise. Lord, we thank You for the food also that You prepared for us itself as a church family that You also found that in the hands of labor day. Lord, and we also are mindful of those who are going through some challenging and difficult times with fires in LA, Lord, you know, others with health concerns, Lord, others with challenges with family and life, and Lord, Satan attacking each and every one of us in ways that are so personal to each of us and so separately and uniquely. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit who has the power and grace and mercy to in overabundance to provide for us all, and we give You all this grace and glory.